Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Good government, a government fiscally responsible to its people, must have as one of its core purposes the achievement of results for its citizens. In doing so, it must also act as an effective steward of the taxpayers' money. Every year, over $2.7 trillion of taxpayers' money flows through the accounts of the U.S. federal government. Managing these funds requires, at a minimum, keeping the books straight and ensuring that funds are not misspent. But it also means going beyond the fundamentals to improve financial management government-wide. With us this morning to discuss his efforts in this area is our special guest, Danny Werfel, Acting Controller of the Office of Federal Financial Management within the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer-Hines, Vice President and Practice Leader for IBM's Public Sector Financial Management Practice. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Al.
Danny, let's begin by talking about the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB. Could you tell us about OMB, what its mission is, how it's organized, and give us a sense of scale, such as its size, number of employees?
Well, I like this question because OMB is a difficult organization to describe. Not a lot of people understand all the different facets that we get into. But essentially, the primary thing that we're involved with is producing the president's budget each year. That budget is produced in a time frame between essentially August and February, and it's submitted in the first week of February to Congress. And it involves about 200 to 300 examiners reviewing agency requests for funding for new programs or existing programs. The examiners evaluate the requests that come in from all the different agencies, whether it be the Department of Commerce or the Department of State. Every agency submits a budget request to OMB. And we review them and make recommendations to the director of OMB about what the president's budget should look like. And this process is a very deliberative one. A lot of analysis goes into it. There are a tremendous amount of challenging questions that must be answered and a lot of priorities to balance. We also have roles beyond just producing the president's budget. Sticking with the budget examiners and the budget side of OMB, they are required to become subject matter experts on all these various programs. So they can not only make good recommendations about funding these programs or reforming these programs, how to fix these programs, but they also look at elements of how the programs are managed, suggestions or requirements we can provide to agencies to improve the management of the programs. Basically, everything that goes into executing these programs once Congress enacts the law that creates them, beyond the budget side, and I like to remind people that there are two letters in the Office of Management and Budget, M and B. There's the M side or the management side. And on the management side of the house, which is smaller than the budget side of the house, we have the responsibility, and I say we because I primarily sit on the management side of the house. We have the responsibility to establish different requirements and different initiatives that are targeted at improving management initiatives for the government. This includes areas such as financial management and accounting, and I think we're going to talk mostly about that today. But there are other areas that we are, again, establishing requirements that all federal agencies must follow. And in addition to that, establishing initiatives to improve management. And those areas include procurement and information technology, for example. And one other area of OMB that I think is worth mentioning is the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. And that office reviews federal regulations that come in. No agency goes out and regulates to the public without getting an OMB approval first. So there's 500 total people at OMB. I think one of the great benefits of being at OMB is that you do get to see every part of the policy process.
Well, that's certainly a very broad overview. You said that the I believe you said that the management side was slightly smaller than the budget side. Can you just give us a sense for that? Is that a two-thirds, one-third, a three-quarters, one-quarter?
Yeah, it's about 300 to 200 or 350 to 150 around that approximation. My office, the Office of Federal Financial Management, which deals with accounting and financial management issues, has approximately 18 people in it. The Homeland Security branch within OMB has about 12 people. So you see that the branches are pretty big comparatively to our office. We deal with a whole government-wide issue. They're just dealing with the homeland. So you do see more people on the budget side than on the management side.
Now that you've given us a good overview of the organization, could you spend a little time talking more about your role within OMB, your specific responsibilities and duties as the acting controller, and how it supports OMB's mission?
Certainly. The Office of Federal Financial Management is responsible for serving as the government's controller. Controller establishes requirements related to financial management, internal controls, accounting, establish those requirements, and oversee the parts of our organization, the larger organization, the federal government, their efforts to implement and meet all these various requirements. So what we sometimes refer to as a set of core activities that federal agencies are doing to improve stewardship, to mitigate the risk of fraud and error and waste, to make sure that they're accounting appropriately for federal taxpayer dollars. We have a whole series of requirements that we issue through bulletins, or sometimes they're called circulars, and they establish what the agencies must have in place from a people, process, technology standpoint to make sure that the accounting is strong and the controls are strong. And so those core activities, we are responsible for publishing them, developing them, maintaining them. We answer a lot of questions about them, and we look to see where they might need to be improved. And that takes me to the next responsibility of the controller and the controller's office, is to look at initiatives to improve management beyond just those core activities, get better results from a financial management standpoint. So beyond core activities, we've established what we sometimes refer to as a reform agenda. And now we are developing new tools, new requirements, new approaches in our reform agenda are areas like improper payments. Agencies are changing and improving the way they track payment errors that are made to beneficiaries and to other non-federal entities. We are looking at our real estate that the government owns and trying to improve our inventory of that real estate so that we know where the properties are that are in need of repair or that are surplus. We're looking at grants management. And so that basically, between those core activities and the reform agenda, that keeps us pretty busy.
You have a broad set of responsibilities and duties and a lot of challenges in front of you. How would you describe your top three challenges that you face in your position and how you've started to address those challenges?
This is a tough question. The government is so complex. I struggle to comprehend all the different complexities. We have a myriad of different programs that each have unique requirements. These unique requirements create complexity to the transactions that we're undertaking. We have programs that are designed to improve world peace and those that are designed to provide school lunches to children. And with each of these different diverse missions and diverse localities and diverse approaches, all of that results in financial transactions that need to be tracked very closely so that we have reliable and valid information on what's going on. So that's an introduction into what I would say the first challenge that we have is, in such a complex environment and a growingly complex environment, how can we do what we do better? How can we be more efficient? Do we have the right human resources to get the job done? And my sense from the financial community is that government is becoming more complex to look at from a financial management standpoint. I would say the second area is related to the first, and it's how we help the chief financial officer in the government today move beyond the compliance exercises that take so much of their time to a place where they're acting more as financial managers rather than quote-unquote compliance officers. So as I described, it's a very complex environment that the CFO community is operating in. They have a very short period of time to gather all the data and produce their financial statements. But what's also important for the chief financial officer is to move beyond that and to be a strategic leader within their organization. I often get asked, what is the full vision of a CFO in the future beyond just clean audits and financial statements? It's an individual who works for the organization who can identify the critical risks, financial risks, and the critical business goals that that agency has. And once those risks and business goals are identified, the chief financial officer can turn around and implement a data strategy to inform on those goals and risks. And that's going to involve tapping all the different data sources within the organization and working across an organization to figure out what are the relevant pieces of information to help agency leaders and managers at all levels to make smart decisions that help mitigate those risks and help meet those business goals. And right now, What we don't have is a clear path forward for how to get the chief financial officer beyond the clean audits, which are fundamentally important. We have to be very focused on the controls, but we also have this objective, this larger objective, to help the agency manage its risks more proactively and more strategically. And so another challenge, how do we move beyond compliance when we still have a lot of work to get done? And the third area I would describe is to dedicate resources to program integrity. Let me give you an example. In the area of real property, are we going to do $7 million in repairs now, or are we going to wait till that roof is about to fall down and invest $70 million? And the goal that we have in financial management and in my world is to help the agencies and help us build the case and build stronger analytics to show where our activities have these types of impacts from a cost avoidance or from a return on investment standpoint. And so I take it upon our office to help build a framework for getting these types of funds more a higher priority on Capitol Hill and making sure that everyone understands that by not funding these activities, there are longer-term, bigger impact costs that the government faces that directly impact the taxpayer.
Danny, I only have about a minute left, but I'm curious. You've had a very interesting career path. Could you describe your career path for our listeners, and how has this background prepared you for your current role and informed your leadership style?
Well, I never would have guessed that I would have ended up in financial management particularly. I started at OMB, started my career over a decade ago in the Office of Information Regulatory Affairs, where I was reviewing regulations and got myself into a niche in civil rights. I was reviewing a lot of civil rights regulations, got pretty interested in it, and moved over to the Justice Department. I'm a lawyer by background, and so I was able to have the unique experience of helping to develop and review civil rights regulations, and then a couple of months later to enforce them in courtrooms by litigating defendants who had allegedly violated civil rights regulations and laws. I tried the litigation thing for a couple of years, but realized that my home and my heart was at OMB, so I begged some of my prior colleagues to have me back, and I went back to OMB and was a budget examiner in the education branch. And that's when, after I did that for a few years, I got the call from financial management to see if I wanted to come over. And I really did like the management stuff. Every time I worked on a management issue, I'd like to say that I was throwing right-handed because it really seemed to come naturally to me and something that I could get very passionate about. So I gladly moved over to the M side of OMB and have been there ever since.
That's fantastic. What about OMB's framework for improving government financial performance? We will ask OMB Acting Controller Danny Werfel to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.